सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणम् मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणैररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। Hariyo. So in this 18th chapter, Bhagwan has told us about Tyaga and Sannyas. And he says that there are three steps in our spiritual journey. There are a lot, but he has summarized it into three. What he says is, we first start out with the ego. With this understanding that I am the doer, I do it, I did everything. And then when I'm the doer, then I also become the bhokta. So karta and bhokta, the doer and the enjoyer, the sufferer. The actions go well, ishtam, mishtam, you know, anishtam. If action goes well, I'm happy. Anishtam, I'm unhappy. And mishram, I get mixed results. So if I'm the doer, then I also have to go through the consequences. Then the next step of that is I am an instrument of the Lord. I am a humble servant. As in Mukund Mala, I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, he tells us. So Paricharaka Vrittasya Vritta, I am that servant of the Lord. And in that case, that becomes Karma Yoga. So it is a slight progression from doership to the instrumentship. But the highest of that is that I am this consciousness, the self, the Atman, and in my presence, this BMI is working, this whole world is functioning in that I. And that I is this consciousness, which is one. And that we'll talk in more detail today. And also Bhagavan told us that in any action, there are five factors. The body, which is the deha, which is the adhishthanam, the substratum, then the karta, the doer, Then the instruments, sense organs, organs of action. Then the energy, which is the pranas. And the fifth is the daivam, the divine presence, which is required for all actions. So these five, adhisthanam, karta, and so on. And then also Bhagavan told us last week that the one who does not have yasya naham krito bhavah buddhir yasya nalipyate athvapi sa iman lokam nahanti na nibadyate, one who can identify with that self, then even while doing the actions do not bind such an individual, because he is unaffected by that. It does not mean he does the wrong actions, but he has no doership. And we see that beautifully in Lord Shiva's, you know, in the form of Lord Shiva, when he is said to be the destroyer of this universe. Destroyer means, does not only mean at the time of death, but there is a constant creation and destruction. Like the flower gets destroyed to make a fruit. Mango, then you eat the mango gets destroyed, left is a seed. You plant the seed, seed gets destroyed, a new fruit, new tree, new. So there is constant creation and destruction. Night gets destroyed and day is born. Day gets destroyed, night is born. So this constant change, creative destruction, is what Lord Shiva represents. And while he is doing it, he has absolutely no doership. He has absolutely, he's uninvolved, because he's always in meditation. And Parvati ji asked him one time, "Oh Lord, whom do you meditate on when you are meditating?" He says, "I meditate on myself, because I am that supreme con." So he has no problem. Even while the whole destruction is going on, he remains in his attitude of meditation, whether his eyes are open or closed. Same way Bhagavan Vishnu, he's sustaining this entire universe, but is he running around? No, he's lying in on that Sheshnag in his Nidra, Yoga Nidra. And in his presence, this whole universe is maintained. Everything is running because of Bhagavan Vishnu's presence. You and I are functioning because of him. And Brahmaji, the Lord Brahmaji, the creator, does he struggle? No, he just, in his presence, continuously, population is increasing, 7 billion, 8 billion, on and on and on. So we see in this, in these Bhagwan Vishnu, Bhagwan Shiva, Bhagwan Brahmaji, how this attitude can be maintained, where remaining in the self. And then, of course, we see that in Pujya Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda ji, or Shankaracharya ji, or Pujya Guruji, Swami Tejomayananda ji, where they have done so much work for the world, but unaffected, because they are always connected with that supreme self. And actions happen in their presence, even though it may look like Shankaracharya ji was traveling through the length and breadth of India, and that time when there was only bullock carts, and he established mathas in the whole four corners, only lived for 32 years, how much he accomplished, but never affected, always. Look at Bhagwan Sri Krishna, how many sorrows he went through. Bhagwan Rama, never affected. Sri Krishna was always smiling, always happy. Why? Because he says, not doing it. It's just happening. And this world is a maya, is an illusion. And he enjoyed his life. You see, Bhagwan Sri Krishna, no matter how many sorrows he went through, his life was a joy and inspiration for all of us. So that's what we say. Work with that attitude. And that's what we meditated on also this morning. That in my presence, these actions are going on. Now, Bhagavan Sri Krishna will give us, talk more about karma, because karma is what we have to do in this world. Even sitting is a karma, breathing is a karma. So how to work and what are the factors in karma? Very beautifully, Bhagavan has analyzed. And this 18th chapter, as we said, is a summary. So what we are studying in the next week or two will be chapters 3, 4, and 5 will be summarized. So the entire Bhagavad Gita is summarized. Chapter 2 we already summarized last week. So shloka number 18, chapter 18, shloka 18. Jnanam neyam parijnata. Trividha karma chodana. Karnam karma karte di. Trividha karma sangraha. Jnanam neyam parijnata. Trividha karma chodana. Karanam karma karteti. Trividha karma sangraha. So what are the three factors which are the impulse of action? That means which, when we think about acting, what are the three factors? And then what are the three factors when we are actually performing the action? So Gurudev calls first one the impulse of action. The second three are called the basis of action. So what is the impulse? Jnanam, neyam, parijnata. Jnanam means the knowledge. Neyam is the something to be known, and parijnata is the knower. So like I am reading a book, so I am the reader, the book is being read, and the process is called reading. Like I am eating, so I am the eater, I am eating my lunch, so the lunch is being eaten by me, the eater. So eater, eating, and eaten. So same way, knower, known, and knowing. Trividha karma chodana. Chodana means the impulse of action. That which, when I'm thinking of doing an action or planning it, these are the three factors. Knower, known, and knowing. Experiencer, experiencing, and experienced. So those are the three. And how about while I am doing the action? What is the basis of action? So Gurudev says, and Bhagwan says, Karanam karma karta. Karanam means the instrument. Karma means the action that is performed, and karta is the doer. So I think about it, then I get the instrument, and then I work. Like I'm digging the ground, then I think about it, then I get an axe or a shovel, I dig the ground. The ground is the one that is being dug. So this triputi is there in every action. No action is possible without all three present at any given time. So as we said, the first line represents jnana, and second, jnana shakti, and the second represents kriya shakti, the ability to do. And the ability to do can come from the individual, and then he needs an instrument, like an author writing needs a pen. You know, he'll need a pen, so he'll write a story, novel, article. And so the writing of the instrument, the pen, so there is the writer, the pen is the instrument, and what he is writing is the novel or the story or the poetry. So the pen is the instrument and the writer is the person. Talking about pen, this was in the olden days when, you know, there were very few hospitals and doctors still made house calls. So this man calls the doctor, "Doctor, doctor, I'm worried." He said, "What happened?" He said, "My son swallowed a pen. Can you please come right away to help?" So doctor said, okay, I'll come right away. He said, "How long will it take you, doctor, to come?" He said, "I'm little away, about half an hour it will take me." He said, "Half an hour? What am I going to do until then?" Doctor says, write with a pencil. So the instrument is what I need. And in all three are required. The experiencer, experienced, and then the process of experiencing. So to give a simple example, I want to go to university to study psychology. Now, I pick a university and I'm looking through its brochure and we say it doesn't even offer psychology. So there is no experienced, even though I am there, the experiencer, I want to study experiencing, I want to do it, but psychology is not offered in that college. So I say, okay, I'm not going there. Or psychology is offered, but I have no interest in psychology. I want to study science. So experiencer is not there. Experienced is there. The ability to experience is also there. I could have gone and studied, but I say, no, I'm not going to go to that college. I'll go to a science college. So one is Gurudev calls as the temptation, then the experiencer, and the middle is the ability to experience and the memory. Say, I want to study psychology. I look at this particular college. Yep, psychology is available. But my friend says, you know, I went there. Psychology professor was not that good. The course is not, go to this. So the memory is there. He has the memory that he has already experienced. So experiencer, the memory, and the experience. Similarly, in karmas also, we find that it's the same thing. The object has to be there, the instrument, and then I. So like some people love to shop. So they will go to all the stores, malls, their car, they're driving, using the car as the instrument. They want to shop. They will buy constantly latest iPhone, latest clothes, fashion, latest car. Every 3 years, they will change. Another guy says, you know what? I have enough clothes. My car is running fine. Why have I had to run around? I have extra time. Let me sit and study Bhagavad Gita. Let me think about Bhagwan, do some prayer. Enough ho gaya, shopping, travel. Yeah, I'm done enough. Now I just want to. And we find in the company also, both people are required, the thinkers and the doers. So the jnana shakti and the kriya shakti. First line is jnana, second line is kriya. So in the company also, there will be some people who will plan, okay, now this company needs to grow further. So how to grow it further, how to come out with new products, new patents, how to build new branches, you know, so they will plan. And then they will assign to some operational people. Okay, now we have decided we're going to build a new branch in Fresno, you know, from expanding from Bakersfield. So then these people will go to Fresno, check out the location, where to build the office, how to grow the office, how to advertise. So knowledge and the operations are there in every activity and the process of doing it. But then there are some in the company who have neither of those, who are neither involved in planning nor in operation. They may be in personnel, HR. So they become drishta. Okay, new office is being built. Let it be built. When it is ready to be staffed, then we get in and we do the staff. Until then, they remain witness. So that happens everywhere. And the result, again, depends on how well this action is done. And what is my vision that will determine the result? With what vision am I planning? Am I doing it with the sattvic vision, where I am doing it for the benefit of all? Am I doing it with rajasic vision, my own growth? Or am I doing it with the tamasic vision? So Bhagwan will clarify that in the next few shlokas, where every action will be sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. So here we have talked about the two, the process of thinking and the process of action. Now, Bhagwan will introduce gunas because that is his favorite topic, sattva, rajas, tamas, throughout the Bhagavad Gita. So here he will talk about how this process came about. So shloka number 19. Jnanam karma cha karta cha. Tridhaiva guna bhedataha. Prochate guna sankhyane. Yathavat shrunutanyapi. So we had so far six, right? Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnata, Karnam, Karma, Karta, and also out of six, Bhagwan has now reduced it to three. He has summarized those six into three to make it easy for us. So first is Jnanam, which is the knowledge. Karma is the action, and action also includes result. So Jnanam is the ability to think, as we said, the sense organs, organs of, you know, contemplation, mana, buddhi, chitta, ahankar, all that come. Then karma is the organs of action and the result, and the karta is the doer. And behind the doer is the deva, you know, the lord, like the lord of action. Say if I'm working with my hands, it is Indra, with my legs, it is Bhagwan, Vishnu, you know, and so on. So all that is six has been summarized into three. So Jnanam, Karma, Cha, Karta, Cha, Tridhaiva, Guna, Vedata. How do I divide them? So Bhagwan says on the basis of Guna, on the basis of Guna, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. That is how these actions are divided. Not only by me, but it is, has been done by all masters. See, Bhagwan never takes ownership of this. He doesn't say, I am teaching. He says, I am just passing on the knowledge which already has been given in the Upanishads by the great masters. And Bhagavad Gita is a summary. No, Upanishad Gavo Dogda Gopalananda. I am just getting the essence of the Upanishads. So he says, Prochyate Guna Sankhyane. It has already been told in the Sankhyan philosophy of these three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Yathavat shrunu. He says, yathavat shrunu. This is a very important line. He says, first of all, he says, listen. Don't only hear it, but listen. Listen means with your mind. Put your mind. And he's not only telling, it's not only he's telling Arjuna, listen, he's telling you and me also. Listen to this with your full attention. And in the end, he will ask Arjuna, have you heard this with full attention? And Arjuna says, yes. Second important is yathavat. Yathavat means listen as I am teaching. Don't have your pre-existing notion. Arre, I already know this. Arre, sattva, rajas, tamas to itni baar suna. Why do I need to hear it again? He says, listen to it way I am saying, not with your own ideas. So they say, start every class with a clean slate. I know nothing, Bhagwan. You please teach me, or Puja Gurudev, you teach me. That should be the attitude. So that is called yathavat shrunu. Listen that way, he says. So let us see. So we already talked about listen. So we said there are three. Knowledge. Knowledge, as we said, is the through the previous study, mana, buddhi, chitta, ahankar, and organs of perception. They gave us knowledge, and then organs of action, and the karma and the result. That's what Shankaracharya ji said. Karma also includes the result, and then the karta. And we'll talk about the karta a little later. Now, the three gunas we know, sattva is purity, rajas is action, tamas is laziness. Where did it come from? So Bhagwan says it came from the Sankhyan philosophy. So Bhagwan here is quoting Kapil Muni. See, Sankhya, that's why in Sanskrit, words have to be used very carefully. Sankhya also means the Vedanta, the Upanishads. In a Panchaitani Maha, in 13th shloka, Bhagavan says, Panchaitani Mahabhavo, Karanani Nibodhame, Sankhya Kritante Proktani, Siddhaye Sarvakarmanam. So he says, what I am telling you has already been told in the Upanishads. So in the 13th shloka, when he says Sankhya, he's referring to the Upanishads. In the second chapter, when he starts Sankhya, he is systematically explaining. So one has to be very careful how we are using Sankhya. Here, when he is using the word Sankhya, he's talking about the Sankhya philosophy of Kapil Muni. Kapil Muni was a great master who actually not only gave this knowledge of Sankhya, but also taught it to his mother. He taught it to his mother. This knowledge. So Sankhya, Kapil Muni, is Sankhya. How does it differ from Vedantic Sankhya, from Upanishad Sankhya? In Upanishad Sankhya, there is Brahman alone. Brahman alone is there. This whole world is made by Prakriti, but is an illusory projection upon Brahman. So Brahman alone is reality, and Prakriti is an expression of Brahman, his power. And in a Mayavi, it's an illusory Mayavi creation. That is Vedanta. In Kapil Muni Sankhya, he gives equal importance to Purusha and Prakriti. He says there are two factors, Purusha and Prakriti, energy and matter. And they are both independent, both are required. And each one, Prakriti creates and Purusha gives the energy. So equal importance, while in Vedanta, only Purusha alone is. Prakriti is creation of Purusha and is illusory. But why does Bhagavan quote Kapil Muni so much in Gunas? Because this Sankhyan philosophy of Kapil Muni has done a great job with Gunas. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas are very well explained in that. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he never takes ownership. He gives authority. He says, even Brahma Sutram Padesh Chaiva Hetur, like that. So he says, this has been explained in Brahma Sutras. It has been explained in Upanishads. All I am doing is carrying on the Guru Shishya Parampara. Even though he is Bhagavan himself, he never takes ownership of it. Same way Shankaracharya ji, when he's writing the Taittiriya Upanishad Bhashya, he starts out by saying, I bow down to the humble, all the great masters who have gone before me, who have given us this knowledge. So that is how we have to study with gratitude to Puja Gurudev, because it is because of his vision that he came down from the Himalayas and brought this knowledge so that you and I can sit in this comfortable hall. We don't have to go to, sit at the, some Himalayan cave or some forest. So it is, we are blessed to have this ability. And then those of who are on Zoom, you're sitting in your house and comfortably. So it is all gratitude to the masters who have preceded us. And how does the ego or the person come in? Say, when I first walked into this class, it was very cold. I said, I'm cold, turn on the heater. I talked to Amit. So we turned on the heater. After a while, it gets too hot. He says, it's too hot, turn it off. So most of the actions depend on the ego. What I want to do, what I don't want to do, what I like, what I don't like. See, things are available in the world. Everything is available. But what do you want to buy? Where do you want to spend your time? You can spend your time all day on the phone and all day watching TV. You can be doing that. But you have a choice. So most of the, that's what the Bhagavad Gita and that's what Bhagavan says, that time, everybody comes with 24 hours. Everybody has the same body, mind, intellect, liver, lungs, spleen, pancreas, kidney. Everybody has the same, the brain we have. But where we choose to put our energy, our mind, and where we actually take our body and act, that is our choice. So that is what Bhagavan says, that the most important factor in this is the ego, the doer. And what do I do depends on my understanding. What is my vision? Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic, based on the scriptures, you know, what the scriptures have told us, what the knowledge has been given, or somebody has not read scriptures. You know, some people just read books of violence. You know, they're all day, they are playing video games, shooting and all. And then that's what happens. Then they go buy a gun and they're angry. And so depending on my vision is my action. And the highest Bhagwan says, Nanya Gunebhya Kartaram Yada Drashta Anupashyati. So he says, one who sees in the 14th chapter, after topping the whole chapter about gunas, you know, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic food, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, you know, vision, all that. Then he says, Nanya Bhya Gunebhya Kartaram Yada Drashta Anupashyati. Gunebhyascha param veti madbhavam so adigachati. He says that at the end of the 14th chapter, after talking about gunas for the whole chapter, this one shloka is very powerful. He says, gunas are all just related to prakriti, related to the world. But all activities are happening by prakriti, but there is this, which is the non-doer self. And one who sees that, he goes beyond the gunas and he comes to me. So Bhagavan says, it is me as the self, as the consciousness, that is illumining all your actions. Not only your actions, but all actions of the world are being illumined by that one self. And Bhagavan is identifying himself with that and says that whether plants, birds, and even the inert objects, everything is me and me alone. And the only way to reach is to keep your attention rather than on the world or on the BMI, on the self. So even while I'm working in the world, part of me should say, yes, there is Bhagavan within me. So pay attention to that and be grateful and thankful to that Bhagavan. Because of his presence, I am able to work. And not only in meditation, but while doing all actions, even while cooking. That's why they say before cooking, the mother should just pray a little bit. Bhagwan, may, you know, thank you for giving me all this material, this ability. Before eating, we should remember God and thank him. So that's what they say. So that is called paying attention to the actionless self while actions are going on. Now, Bhagwan will talk about Sattvic and Rajasic. Those are the two shlokas we'll cover today. Tamasic, Jnanam, we'll do next week. So we have covered two. So we'll do shloka number 20. And that is Sattvic Jnanam. So remember we had said Jnanam, Karma, Chakarta. So Bhagwan will give us Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic Jnanam. Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic Karma and Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic Karta. So all that will be covered in the next few shlokas. And these are very important because they tell us how to act. So this is Sattvic act, Sattvic Jnanam, how to think in a Sattvic way. Sarva Bhuteshu Ye Naikam Bhavam avyayam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu tatnyanam vidhi sattvikam Sarva Bhuteshu Ye Naikam Bhavam Avyayam Ikshate Avibhaktam Vibhakteshu Tatnyanam Vidhi Sattvikam. So last is Tatnyanam, that knowledge, Vidhi. O Arjuna, please know it as Sattvic Buddhi. So this is for us. And also, Gurudev again and again reminds us that this knowledge is not to judge others, not to say, you know, that person, I think he has too much rajas. oh, that person is too lazy. Why doesn't he go up and do something? No, it is meant to for us. If I am find myself doing a tamasic or rajasic, that I'm not doing much, or I'm working too much and don't have time to think, then how can I make my actions more sattvic, more pure, with the right understanding, with the idea of, you know, serving? So this is for me to judge myself. So he says that jnanam viddhi sattvikam. So what is this sattvic knowledge? Sarva bhuteshu yena. Yena means by which? Ekam. In sarva bhuteshu, in all beings, animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, all beings. Ekam. One bhavam, one reality, which is avyayam, which is immutable, unchanging, one unchanging, immutable reality, ikshate, one who sees. Sees means understands that there is one entity which is pervading everything. And how is that nature of that entity? So Bhagwan, even though that is very hard to describe in words, but Bhagwan does a beautiful job. He says, avibhaktam vibhakteshu. In all these divisions, he said, well, now here, you are separate from you, from me. No, we are not divided. There is one consciousness. We are not separate from the plants, the birds, the animals. There is one Brahman, which is undivided, appears divided. You know, we say, oh, there is the space. Then now there is a hall space. Then there is an outside space. And then in the hall, we have a box. So there is box space. So appears divided, you know, outside space, hall space, box space, pot space. No, there is only one space appears to be divided. Similarly, the consciousness in me is different from the consciousness in you, you, her. No, there is only one. Appears divided. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu tat jnanam viddhi sattvikam. Know that to be sattvic knowledge. Now, this is very, very important to understand that there is one undivided knowledge which is in all of us. And we always think, you know what? I think realization is very far away from me. It's a very important point I'll try to cover again in the Thursday class because this came up. Oh, I am so far away. I think Shankaracharya ji, Puja Gurudev, you know, wo kahan aur main kahan, you know, we always think. But they say, how far is God from you? How far is he? He's right here. It's not far. We say, are, I don't know when I will reach. I don't think I can reach in this lifetime. Should stop saying that. The fact that we have studied the Bhagavad Gita, we have Puja Gurudev's commentaries, his teachings, we are right close. Bhagwan is right here. He's not somebody sitting in Vaikuntha or Kailash or anywhere. He's here. All the reason we don't see him is, again, they say, sadhan chatushtaya. We don't have vivek. He says, develop vivek. See what is temporary and what is permanent. All this is temporary. This world is temporary. My body is temporary. Everything. Stop holding on to the temporary, hold on to the permanent. What is permanent in me? That is, we have to say. Vairagya, develop detachment. You know, I don't need to depend so much on these things. Detach from it. Then shat sampatti, have control of the mind, control of your senses. Just slowly develop these through study, through, you know, practice. Develop faith in the scriptures, firm abidance. Then titiksha, you know, ability to go through life's problems without complaining. And uparati, withdraw from these. They are not what I need. I didn't come to this life. I didn't come to this world to acquire more and possess more. I came to achieve enlightenment. And that's why I am sitting in this class, so that I may. So develop these and intense mumukshutvam. That has to be developed. That is very important. Then Bhagwan is not far. Bhagwan is right here. He's talking. He's listening through us. Just shift your attention from the world. Go inward. That's all we need to do. Or kuch karna nahi hai. That's what they say. So enlightenment is not far away. If you think enlightenment is far away, then the master says, then you shall wait. If you think I have to wait, then you shall wait. You want to wait for next life? Fine. Go ahead. But there is no reason to wait because it is right here. And that is very important point. And that we have to get out of our mind. Ke mere se nahi hoga. That should never come. I am here. I am sitting. Puja Gurudev is here. Bhagwan is here. What else we need? We don't need anything else. We have the book. And this point is very, very important because this is a very common phrase. Everybody said, you know, I'm so far away. Nobody is far away. All of us are enlightened. Only problem is we don't know it. That's all. All of us are masters, but we don't know it. And that's why Bhagwan says, once you know that, tatra ko moha ko shokaha ekatvam anupashyata. One who constantly sees one, then there is no moha, no shoka. No delusion, no confusion, and no shoka. Are ye kyun nahi hua, wo kyun nahi hua, why didn't this happen? Whatever is happening for the good. It's happening to, as we had said, to wake me up or keep me awake. That is the whole purpose of every action, to wake me up to that truth. And this oneness, we see very well in our body. Like in my body, now my eyes are different from my mouth. My hand is different from my feet. But I see myself in all, right? Do I see that? No, my hand, I don't care for left hand. I like right hand. No, I need both hands. I need both legs. I need my eyes. And I give equal importance because they are all me. I see myself. I don't say, is even the hand that is giving me pain or a leg is giving me pain, I will, you know, dress it, put bandage if I have an ulcer, go to the doctor. I still love that, you know. So in the body, we see that oneness. But why can't we see it in others? You know, I see it in everybody except my neighbor or except my mother-in-law. You know, that is. So no, it is God, the same consciousness in all. And we all have to work together like in an orchestra, right? Now there are 50 members of an orchestra. And the violin says, you know, I don't want to play Rag Yaman. I'm going to play Rag Bhairavi. A conductor says, you know, this is Rag Bhairavi tune. How can you play Rag Yaman? Or in an orchestra, you know, where there are different notes, the bass drum and then the, you know, trumpet. But the conductor makes sure that they are all playing together. So that is oneness. When they are all together playing a tune, then it sounds beautiful. If one is playing one tune, and sometimes when the kids are learning, we find they go out of tune, or when they are singing some bhajan. If they are all singing together, then it sounds very good. If each one is singing, like yesterday when we were listening to the Ramayana, it was so beautiful because, you know, the flow of the words were so harmonious, so nice. The energy was so beautiful. So that is what happens. If everybody sings together, works together, then the harmonious note comes out. If each one is going in their own tune, it doesn't work. Same thing in a company. You know, there is the HR group, and then there is the operation, and then there is the research, and then there is the management, and then there is the finance and the computers and the accounting. Now they all have to work for the benefit of the company. Right? So the company may grow, but if the corporation says, you know, I'm going to make sure my job is done well, I don't care what the other, it's not, company is not going to work. All the departments have to work good, then only the company becomes successful. If one works good, and other one, like research is done, and the plans are made, but the guy who's supposed to carry out, I'll do it. You know, then a company won't work. Same thing we find in the country, you know, where one state says, I only care about my state. I don't care what happens to the country. All the resources I'll use to make my state better. And I don't care. And that's why it creates fights. Recently, one politician, she said, very famous member of Congress, she said she wants to divide US into the red states and the blue states, you know, the Republican states and Democrat. such a foolish plan. How can he say blue state will be separate red state? One blue state is New York, another blue state is California. Now, in the middle, there are reds. This is foolish. You know, it is stupid to even think like that. And that's what Abraham Lincoln fought for. He said the United States has to be one country. Or in India, we find sometimes different states say we want to become separate. We want to have our own country. Then the country cannot function. The states cannot function. So together, when there is this oneness, Hansa often talks about this oneness in our study group. When there is the thinking of there is one alone that is functioning, then only actions happen correctly. Otherwise, there is problem, there is division. And this can happen at the individual level or at the group level, sattvic thinking. At the individual level, example is Newton or Einstein, you know, where when they came up with their theories, they had no idea that what am I going to benefit from it, what this theory is going to do. They just gave it for the benefit of mankind. And then whatever people use it, the theory of relativity, theory of gravitation, all those scientific theories, that is sattvic thinking, where the idea is that whatever knowledge I have, I just give it to mankind. And then next shloka will talk about Rajasic. Or it can be a group, like somebody is an astronomy, you know, there's an astronomy lab and they do a lot of find out new planets, new things. Their idea is sattvic, just to give knowledge, not for anybody to benefit. And Pujya Gurudev, in his commentary, I would request everybody to, if you don't have these books, buy them. And if you have them, please read them. Later on, you will see how he talks about one electricity in all the equipments, one water in all the waves, you know, one mud in all the pots. So that is sattvic vision, to see one in all. That is avibhaktam vibhakteshu. So now we'll go to the rajasic vision. And then we'll do the tamasic next time. I think it will take about that much time. So, shloka number 21. So, sattvic vision is to see oneness in all. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu ekam. One alone. Yen ekam, one alone. And what does rajasic see? See differences, varieties, differences. And gives more importance to the differences than to that one substratum. So shloka number 21. Prithaktvena tu yat jnanam. Anabhavan prithakvidhan. Veti sarveshu bhuteshu.
Veti sarveshu bhuteshu.
Tat jnanam vitti rajasam. Prithak venatu yat jnanam. Nana bhavan prithak vidhan. Veti sarveshu bhuteshu. Tajnanam vidhi rajasam. So now what is rajasik jnanam? We'll study that today. And Bhagavan says prithaktvena. Prithaktvena means seeing differences, that this is different. You are different from me. And that person from that state, Bengali, is different from Tamilian and different from Marathi and Gujarati. So sees the differences among different people and among different things, you know, dogs and cats, and my company, my house, your house, my money, your. So seeing all those differences, prithaktvena tu yat jnanam, that understanding where it person sees differences, nana bhavan prithakvidhan, of different variety, with different activities. So he sees all the different things with different activities of different kinds. And as different, as separate, veti. One who sees that, one who knows that, veti, this knows, sarveshu bhuteshu, in all beings, living, all living beings, and even inert things, everything, he sees this differences, that jnanam vidhi rajasam, know that knowledge, vidhi, O Arjuna, know that to be rajasic. So as we said, this person does not see oneness. His idea is I, me, and mine, and you and yours. That's why in me or more, tai or tor, you know, in Ramayana we heard that is Maya. What is Maya? I and mine, and you and yours. Me or more, tai or tor. That is Maya. That's Tulsidas ji says that right in the beginning of Ramayana. So to see the differences among people, among individuals, among situations, among possessions is rajasic. Even in God, they see differences. You know, my God is better than your God. You know, so I only believe in Vishnu. I don't care much for Shiva Bhaktas. You know, they used to have fights in India. And now we see so many fights on religion. You know, Islam is better than, you know, Hinduism or Christianity. All these conflicts, because the idea that my God is better than your God, and only, of course, fanaticism is even worse. We'll talk about that next week. But just the idea that my God is superior to your God, my church is better than your church, my book is better than your book, my teachings are better than your teachings, that is rajasic. Tamasic is even worse. We'll talk about that later on. And such a person's main focus of action, why is he working? For profit. What will I get out of it? And how much money will I make? How much power will I have? Will I be the number one, you know, best company in the world? Will I have the most money? Will I have the most power? Will I be the most famous? So an example, we already heard about Newton and Einstein, which were sattvic thinkers, where they made knowledge and they just shared it freely. They had no ownership, no patent, no nothing. They said, this is knowledge, you just take it. But the example of a rajasic thinker, very brilliant, but totally rajasic, was Thomas Alva Edison. Edison, who made the light bulb. Now, that's a great invention. He has done great service. But immediately he made the light bulb, he made a meter which measures how much electricity it consumes, and he patented both. He patented the light bulb, the meter, and the generator for electricity. And right from day one, he was, not that these were not useful inventions, but his main focus was, how much money can I make out of my invention? How many people will use my light bulb? And then he had a meter. He already made a meter right in the beginning. How much electricity person is consuming? How much generation? So not to put him down, he has made great inventions, but his idea of his focus was money, profit. And same thing we find in companies also. You know, just as we said, astronomers, you know, they detect, they work as a group, but for the benefit of all. They are not doing it for their own benefit. But then on the company, there may be other people who work as a group. That's why, you know, they say when the people work in a group, sometimes the progress is faster. That's why companies nowadays have these think tanks, you know, where they work together, because they know that it progresses. But if the whole purpose of that think tank is how much profit the company can make, how IP can grow, and how we can put the other company down, and how we can, you know, be the most powerful, then that is rajasic. One is that, yes, we are becoming successful, but if we become successful, we should share this knowledge with others. And not only that, but a part of the profit should go into community service, should go into benefit, helping others, giving good to our employees, giving them benefit. Not the CEO makes 130 million and then that poor employee doesn't even get minimum wage. So not like that. So not that there shouldn't be differences, but it should not be so much. It should be where everybody in the company is doing well, everybody in the nation is doing well. One nation is growing at the expense of other nations. That's not good. If we have extra, we should help the poorer countries. So when profit alone becomes the motive, then every action becomes profit oriented. How much can I can get? I, me, and mine, and how? So if I am not able to give others, if I'm not able to share with others, if I'm not able to help others, then such action is rajasic. Yes, I should make myself do well, but I should make sure that people around me also do well. So not only for my benefit, but for the benefit of society. All actions, when they are performed, then they are sattvic. But if they are only performed with the idea that I should get better, then that is rajasic. I'll end with a nice story which I heard, which shows us rajasic and tamasic giving. So there was this lady who lived a very good life. She was good. She didn't do anything bad, did nice, but never gave anything to anybody. Never gave. But she was a very good person, didn't do anything bad. And so when she dies, she goes to St. Peter and he looks at, or Chitragupta, he looks at his record and said, yeah, you have lived a good life. You will live in heaven, but you never gave anything. So she says, can you look in my record? I think I gave. She said, you never gave any. Finally, he does research. Chitragupta takes a long time. He said, yeah, one time you gave an old carrot to a beggar that you didn't want to eat. That's the only thing you gave. So she says, at least I gave that. So Chitragupta says, okay. So he says, you get a house in heaven. So she goes to that house because she had lived a good life. And in that whole house, it's completely empty. Only one little carrot is there. That's it. She did, because that's all she gave. That's all you get. So is that all? Yeah. She said, how long, how can I live in without, with only, sorry, that's all you get. She said, no, no, no. I want another chance. Give me another chance, Bhagwan. I don't want to stay here. What is the use of living here with one carrot? How am I going to live? So Bhagwan says, okay, go. So Bhagwan sends her. Now this life, she is very careful because she remembered. So she becomes very generous. She works very hard and she becomes very successful. And she is giving, constantly giving, giving, giving. And also she had the right knowledge that I have to have. That. So she was studying, going to the Mahatmas and helping organize. Even though she was very successful, very generous. And at the same time, getting the right knowledge, sharing the right knowledge. And when she died, she had done so much good that she was, first of all, directly on her way to Brahmaloka, where she was not going to be born again. She had lived such a good life. And she had a golden carrot in her hand. And with that golden carrot, all the people that whom she had helped also were carried to different heavens. So not only she carried herself to Brahmaloka, where she was not born again, where Brahmaji taught her, but she carried everybody else whom she had helped throughout her life. So the point is that we can live our life selfishly, where I live for myself or I live for others. And ultimately the result comes because Chitragupta is sitting there. And Chitragupta is not somebody sitting in heaven, is within our heart, us, we in ourselves know how I have lived the life. So the results of my karma come to me based on my action, whether it's sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. And so that's what Bhagavan says, that try to live your life as much as possible in sattva, help others, and make your life better. And that is the way to come to me. So what Bhagavan says, your goal of life is to mad bhavam so adhi gachati. Who reaches me? Who sees oneness? That's, we had already heard that in the 14th chapter. So I'll end here. Very beautiful shlokas which teach us how to live our life the right way. So we have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions, comments. I'll change the view also to gallery view so I can see everyone. Yeah, there. Everybody is here. Anybody has any questions, comments, please feel free.
I have a question, Anil.
Sure.
This in the chapter 18, nanam, verse 18.
Yes.
Nanam, gneyam, and parignata. Parignata is the knower. Gneyam, you said something to be known.
Yes.
And gnanam is knowledge. So are we starting from the basis of we know something already? That's the gnanam?
No.
Then what is then gnayam? That is not again gnanam?
No. Gnanam is the process of knowing. Gnayam is the one to be known. And parignyata means one who knows it completely. So this is when I don't know something. And I want to know, neyam is say I don't know Sanskrit, right? So I'm trying to study.
Okay.
So Sanskrit is something I did not know, but now I am studying. So I am the parignyata. Jnanam is the process of knowing, and neyam is Sanskrit. So Sanskrit is something I need to know.
Okay.
That is neyam. And jnanam is the process of knowing.
Uh-huh.
Jnanam is the process.
Okay, okay.
I don't know. And okay. Parignyata, so, I am the one
right.
to study Sanskrit or could be anything. I'm just using that example because we are currently studying that. So anything that is to be known, that is jnanam,
okay.
That is to be known.
Okay.
I can't know it yet. Jnanam means the knowledge is there, how to study Sanskrit. The masters have already told us, but I do not know it, so I have to study. So that
oh, okay. So it's the process of knowing, and that knowing that ultimate is gnayam.
Right.
And I am the doer who I'm the knower who is trying to know that. Okay, so the process. The second half is much easier to understand. Actions, karanam, karma, and karta. But this one was a little confusing term. I know in a previous chapter, I think chapter 13 also that came through, right? Basically.
Yes.
Okay.
So the first
thank you line, so much.
First line is jnana shakti, and second line is kriya shakti. If you remember that. Jnana Shakti is the first line, the process of knowing.
Yes.
The first line, and Kriya Shakti is the second.
Right.
That's why Bhagavan has put in two separate lines. Second is doing. Once I have known something, then how do I do it? Like I learn about computers. Then
correct.
I sit down and work on a computer. That is the second line. That is
okay.
The impulse of action and then the basis of action. So one is that the knowledge of action, and second is how do I carry out the action.
So karma chodana, that is where the impulse, but the thought has to come in that I want to know this.
Exactly. It's the process of thinking. That is the
first. And that thought or that spark comes based on your vasanas?
Yes, based on your desires to know. Desire, you have to have the desire that I want to learn this. I want to learn Sanskrit.
Right.
You will sit down and
pick
up a book. Or I want to learn Bhagavad Gita. Then only I will, join the class like that. So the desire has to come from...
And those are based on your sattvic thinking, your tamasic thinking, or rajasic thinking.
Right. So what is your vision of life? What is my vision of life? If my vision of life is sattvic, then my actions will be sattvic. If my vision is rajasic or tamasic, then accordingly, yes.
Okay.
So you have to change.
Thank you.
That's why they say, yatha drishti, tatha srishti.
Yeah.
Vision, so is my action.
Right. I said that sentence on Thursday. Correct.
Keep the vision.
I
thank you. Thank you, Anilji.
Yeah, Veena.
I have a question, Anilji. Like the process of knowing, you said the gnanam, right? So can that also be like we talked about the kriya shakti and gnana shakti, right? So can we also have that icha shakti, the thing to know, you know, because it always goes, right? Icha shakti, gnana shakti, kriya shakti, swarupini, like everywhere we read in so many. So I wanted your thing about the icha shakti.
Very true. No, I 100% agree with you, Veena. The icha has to come from within. There's icha shakti, then jnana shakti, then kriya shakti. So icha can come from, again, the icha can be, what is my desire? Whether my desire is sattvic, I want to know about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavan Sri Krishna, or I want to know how to make more money, be more successful, or I want to know how to make a bomb, you know, how to make a bomb to, you know, for these suicide bombers or the. And so I make a bomb and sell it, give it to the suicide bomber, go and kill 200. So depending on my icha, depending on my vision, then will be my thinking and then will be my action. So Bhagavan again and again says, have sattvic vision, then your thinking, sattvic icha, vision, sattvic jnana, and then sattvic kriya. So that's why again and again. So I thank you for bringing up that point. That's very important. Icha Shakti.
Yeah, thank you.
Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. Yes.
Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, so Hansa Ben said it very nicely that once I have the Icha and the Jnanam, then my Kriya also should be according to that. So if I have sattvic icha, sattvic jnanam, and then if my organs, if I'm just doing whatever they want, my hands are doing what they want, legs are doing. So organs of action have to follow the instructions of the intellect that is properly been advised by the guru. So that is the second line. Karnam karma karta. So the doer of the action, the instrument of the action can be hands and legs, can be speech, you know, can be all those organs. Or it can be an equipment I have like a pen or a computer or whatever. So the instruments of action also have to work according to sattvic icha and sattvic jnanam, right? So that then my karma will be sattvic. So yeah, all that is, so that is in the second line. Karna, karma, and karta. Karta is the doer, karma is the action, and karna is the equipment, the instruments of action. So Bhagavan has divided into two separate lines for us to understand. Is that correct? That's what you were mentioning? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That's a good point. Yeah, the instruments of action also have to work in harmony. Induji, aapko kuch bolna?
सांख्य ज्ञान के बारे में थोड़ा सा और समझाएंगे तो अच्छा लगेगा. सांख्य ज्ञान, सांख्य, सांख्य ज्ञान.
ओ सांख्य ज्ञान, ओके. सांख्य ज्ञान, सो सांख्य, देयर इज नॉट मच टाइम, आई विल स्पेंड वन और टू मिनट्स, वी कैन टॉक नेक्स्ट वीक आल्सो. सांख्य हैज मेनी मीनिंग. वन इज संख्या, दैट मींस सिस्टमैटिकली नंबर 1 2 3 4. सो सिस्टमैटिकली एक्सप्लेनिंग समथिंग. In second chapter, how Bhagavan tells Arjuna at different levels why he should do his duty. Then Sankhya also means Vedanta. Sankhya means Vedanta, the Upanishads. Sankhena, you know, in the 13th shloka, he says, Panchaitani Mahabaho Karanani Nibodhame Sankhya Kritante Proktani, which has been said in the Upanishads. So Sankhya means systematic study. Sankhya means Upanishad. Sankhya, where in the 18th shloka, when he talks about in the 19th shloka, is the Sankhya philosophy of Kapil Muni. Kapil Muni had said that there are two, Purush and Prakriti. Purush is the energy, Prakriti is matter. So matter and spirit. Energy or the matter hai. So energy and matter together are required to work, and he gives equal importance to both. Both are equally important. In Upanishad, energy alone is important. the Purusha alone is important. Prakriti is just a manifestation of Purusha. So in Vedanta, no importance is given to Prakriti. I mean, it is there, but the main importance is given to Purusha because of whom Prakriti is working. But in Sankhya philosophy of Kapil Muni, Prakriti and Purusha are equally important. And both are required for creation. So that is. But in the Sankhya philosophy of Kapil Muni, this Sattva, Rajas, Tamas is very well explained. That's why Bhagavan quotes that a lot. Usme very detail mein they have given what is Sattva, what is Rajas, what is Tamas. And so Bhagavan is quoting from there. Of course, Bhagavan has his own, you know, teachings, but he always gives credit to these great masters who preceded him. So Kapil Muni ke jo Purush and Prakriti are two separate independent powers. That is
Sankhya. Kapil ne apni maa ko kis tarike se ye gyan diya?
Wo uski lambi kahani hai, main aapko agli baar sunaunga. That is a long story, how she gave that, he gave the knowledge. There's a very beautiful story about Gautama Rishi. We'll do that next week. Wo Kapil Muni ka. Agle hafte karenge. Thank you. We'll close. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namah. Hari Om. So when we are summarizing next week, I'll tell the story of Kapil Muni. It's a beautiful story, bahut achhi story. So we'll do that next week. We'll start.
There is an Upanishad on that,
right? Yeah, there's a whole, whole philosophy complete. Right. There is so much material on that. He is the origin of all this Purush, Prakriti, Sankhya and all. Yeah, it's very nice. Thank you. Hari Om.